Zamrolo ca dracu apă carmoza.
To get to Baalbek, first I had to get out of Beirut. The problem isn't Israeli dive bombers or hooded terrorists, it's the traffic. During Lebanon's 15-year civil war that ended in 1990, tens of thousands of cars were illegally imported into the country. This day, they all seem to be taking the Damascus Road towards Baalbek. In another country, a driver might point out beautiful parks or monuments as points of interest. In Beirut, all references hark back to the Civil War. Driver Waweed Musa explains.
This is the Green Line here.
The infamous Green Line divided Beirut into Christian and Muslim sections. In the no man's land in the middle, every building was damaged or destroyed. Musa says that's all being rebuilt now.
Everywhere in Lebanon, you can have long, sad story with bad remembrance because of the war. Now we are seeing happy developments, happy, lot of infrastructure work.
Indeed, that infrastructure is apparent once you drive out of greater metropolitan Beirut. The road to Baalbek widens into a modern four-lane highway. It was originally built for the Syrian troops occupying the area, but you hardly notice the military these days, except for the 10 checkpoints on the road to Baalbek. The soldiers are mostly looking for stolen cars, though, so tourists usually have no problems as long as you come to a complete stop at each checkpoint. Once at the ruins, a friendly guide makes me an offer I can't refuse.
My name is Khalil, and I will be your guide. I will do my best to let you enjoy the place. It's $14 is the charge of the ministry if you don't. If you like it, you pay them. If not, you don't pay anything.
Sounds like a good deal to me. It's a money back guarantee then.
Yeah.
Now tell me, has anybody ever not paid you?
No, never.
After passing through an entrance gate, you suddenly see ancient walls and columns standing 10 stories high. The ruins are a true wonder of the world. You can see entire buildings just as the Romans built them, except for the missing roofs. And visitors can actually touch walls built around 50 BC.
Solid.
The ruins were preserved over the centuries because of Baalbek's sunny, dry climate and total lack of pollution. The three temples are true architectural masterpieces. Our guide Khalil says the foundation of Jupiter's temple contains the largest pieces of rock ever used in construction anywhere.
The three biggest stones ever used in building. 80 meter long each one, 4 meter high, 350 large. 830 tons each block.
And how were they moved?
A thousand of slaves.
Thousands of slaves built the temples over a period of 385 years and never finished. In ancient times, the Roman priests and aristocracy used the three temples for ceremonies and some pretty serious partying. They started with a few animal sacrifices in Jupiter's temple, moved over to the temple of Bacchus, the god of wine, and then on to Venus, the temple of love.
Inside the temples used to have bacchanal parties.
Now, can you give me any details of what used to happen at the bacchanalian parties?
Used to drink wine, eat opium, and make parties.
In later years, Baalbek became an Arab fortress. In that spirit, visitors can stop for some thick Arabian coffee and listen to Bedouin folk music. While the melody is played on an instrument that looks like a one-string violin, the rhythm is made with a stick pounding inside an urn used to grind coffee. Baalbek was under the thumb of no less than five empires, and that troubled history continues down to recent times. From 1982 till 92, Baalbek was controlled by Iranian Revolutionary Guards and other strict adherents of Islam. So, how can I phrase this? Tourism tapered off a lot. Even Lebanese couldn't go to the ruins. But the government has controlled the area for the past 6 years, and tourists are coming back. This year, the Baalbek Music Festival has been revived. The summer festival was once famous for classical and jazz concerts inside the acoustically unique temples. This year, the festival drew thousands of Lebanese to hear a variety of performers, including American jazz greats Herbie Hancock and Betty Carter. Nicola Sely, one of the festival organizers, says the Baalbek concerts symbolize the changes in today's Lebanon.
During the war, Baalbek was synonymous of narrow-mindedness, extremism, violence, fright, terror, actually. It was an awful, I mean, nobody dared go to Baalbek or even think about it. It was sort of a small island of something outside of this world, you know. But now, with the festival, it becomes what it has always been, because it's a very nice place. And now it's synonymous of light, of music, beauty, open-mindedness, openness to the world.
Arab and European tourists have already rediscovered Baalbek. The Lebanese hope to attract more Americans as well, despite the State Department advisory against travel to Lebanon. For the moment, almost no Americans visit Baalbek, something that displeases Khalil.
Now, who are the best tippers?
So the Americans are the most. Always.
Is that a hint?
No.
For the Savvy Traveler, I'm Reese Ehrlich in Baalbek, Lebanon.
If you're interested in visiting Lebanon, you can get to Beirut by flying to Paris, Frankfurt, or other European cities and catching a connecting flight. As Reese mentioned, the U.S. State Department has issued a warning against travel to Lebanon. According to the Consular Information Sheet, assistance in emergency cases, such as arrest or death, may not always be provided in a timely manner. But if that kind of thing doesn't bother you, you can obtain a tourist visa from the Lebanese embassy or consulate in the U.S., or buy one at the Beirut airport when you arrive. You won't be allowed in Lebanon, however, if your passport indicates that you've visited Israel, even on a previous trip.